Mini episode 526 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your football talking dignitaries, taking a look back at the 2014 NFL season and ahead to 2015 division by division. Up this time, it's the AFC North, a division which shockingly had a couple of different teams here in double digits for a conference where we thought that a lot of teams were going to be hovering right around that bell curve area of 8-8. We talked about it when we broke down the AFC East. That was really not the case. It was the rich and the poor in the AFC, and we had some teams in the AFC North accelerating to get to that rich area, but methinks there's going to be at least a couple of them falling out of that millionaires bracket, Kyle Ross, in 2015.
Three of the four teams in this division beat my projections this year.
Me too.
Ironically, the one that didn't was the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Finished in last. But this, what I think that is attributable to is the NFC South playing it. They really cleaned up in non-conference games this division.
Right.
There's an irony here, though, that the Steelers, who won the division 11-5.
2-2.
I picked the Steelers to win the division, by the way, at 10-6. They finished 11-5.
Yep.
So it's pretty negligible. They only went 2-2, and they lost to Tampa Bay and New Orleans, both at home.
Right.
And then they beat Atlanta and Carolina on the road.
Yep.
The Steelers were kind of a goofy team to figure out last year. They're real stars and scrubs roster. They've got the great talent at the skill positions. Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown deserves to be mentioned among the best
receivers
in this
league. Some of the other guys in the receiving core are coming along.
But I'm going to say this. I never root for anyone to get fired. I shouldn't say it. There are a few times I have pumped my fist and said good. I was glad when ESPN parted ways with Rush Limbaugh, to bring up one thing. But
not exactly a pure sports example of rooting for that, but okay.
I just wanted to dig. Hey, I'm in Casa de Ricky. I have to say something nasty about the conservative America, right?
Not an El Rushbo fan, so go right ahead.
Okay. So with the Steelers, what's funny is they haven't drafted well in a while. But everyone in Pittsburgh, and I think we talked about this at the end of the year, the regular season going into the playoffs, that the narrative there, everyone wants Todd Haley's head on a silver platter. And we've criticized him in the past, and rightly so. Before this past year, it didn't seem like it was working. It didn't seem like him and Roethlisberger were on the same page. And making things worse is the guy they got rid of, Bruce Arians, is having all this success.
Yep. Hashtag, though, lo and behold.
Yes. And Dick LeBeau, on the other side of the football, legendary coordinator, is so revered in the Steel City. I'm going to tell you, I said it towards the end of the year, whose unit finished in the top of DVOA, the Football Insider statistic, who's finished at the bottom?
They're still going to feel the bite, I think, of losing LeBeau.
I don't. I'll be honest with you.
Do you think the game's passed him by?
He had antiquated players, yes.
All right.
And an antiquated system. I champion the move to get rid of Dick LeBeau.
Wow, this is a clip and save moment because I think they're going to regret it, and we'll find out.
I was actually this is to bring a full circle with the I don't root for people to get fired. I was pleasantly surprised they made that decision.
Okay,
I thought for all the bitching about Haley that goes on, if there was a coordinator that one of the two coordinators that deserved to keep his job in Pittsburgh, it was Todd Haley.
Haley had a better year, but again,
talent to work with But I'm telling you, I mean, the proof was in the pudding. Pittsburgh's defense, I think they were running antiquated concepts with antiquated players. It is time to hit that defense with a fresh coat of black and gold paint.
Well, it is, you know, and it's a thing, too. And again, you know, for anybody who doubts my open-mindedness, my best friend, my bestie is actually a Squealer fan. And I said to him coming into the season, I said, I don't know why you guys never draft cornerbacks, but I'm grateful.
They need to.
I'm grateful.
One of my old roommate, Josh, he's a big Steelers fan.
Uh-huh.
And, like, when I came, was telling him before the year, I'm like, dude, your secondary stinks.
Yes.
He was like, no. He was like, I was like, dude.
Palomalu's 100 years old. They never draft cornerbacks. Yeah.
Blake Taylor is one of the worst players in the NFL.
Right.
He's horrible.
He couldn't cover me. And I got no hops anymore.
I mean, he's not that bad. I think he would cover you. But, so Pittsburgh, it's interesting where they go next year. They were, as I mentioned, unlike the other teams, they were the only team in the division that did not have a winning record in non-conference games.
Strange.
And then they win the division. But where they made up for that was a 6-3 record, straight up, in games decided by 8 points or less. Not a huge, you know, it's not like, you know, we talked about with the Jets, the AFC East, how they went 5-1 the previous year. It's not, but that's a lot of games that were close, and B, pretty good fortune. I don't see the Steelers matching 11 wins next year, but I could see them still being a wild card depending on how they address the defense. The offense is fine. I don't think they need to do anything to the offense.
Right. I would agree with that. And I think that the defense probably is going to get, for obvious reasons, when you look at how the offensive side of the ball conducted itself versus the defense, I think it is going to get a look there in the offseason. The other thing, too, is that this is a team that used to, like maybe 10 years or so ago, have some depth at running back, and they haven't anymore. And you saw in the playoffs, Le'Veon Bell goes down, and you're signing Ben Tate to try to come
in.
By
the way,
I could tell you as a Browns fan that wasn't going to work.
So even after they were gone, the Steelers, which was, you know, they lost in the wild card round, and New England goes on to win the Super Bowl, you're looking, every time LeGarrette Blount came on the screen, I would turn to whoever was sitting next to me, and sometimes it was my fiance who could care less and was like, I don't know. But I would say, actually, picture me saying this to Cammy while I pose this question.
And I'm picturing that blank look on her face.
I was like, I would go and say, can someone please explain to me why the Steelers just let LeGarrette Blount go? You know? Like, since when did the NFL just, you know, do its players a solid?
And I'm picturing that I don't know shrug from her.
Yes. Like what since when did the NFL, the least player friendly league, just be like, oh, you don't want to play here anymore? You wanna go, we'll just let you talk. Oh, you know what, we'll do you a favor. Just leave. Pick whatever team you want to go to. Like, that was astounding given the depth that they didn't have.
Well, here's the thing though. If you feel like you have the grounds to suspend somebody without pay, send them home, whatever, in all likelihood, you're going to be dealing with the commissioner's office with a grievance and fighting that. I mean, what's the recourse?
You mean the NFLPA?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, Roger Goodell's
gonna,
not going to file a grievance.
Well,
on behalf
of players. That's what
Roger
I mean.
Goodell
but
would shoot a player.
Roger Goodell would be he would be presiding over a hearing that the Players Association would bring. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but what's the recourse? You can't let a guy like that. Now, again, when the Browns cut Ben Tate for reasons that were very, very, very similar, again, the only difference between Ben Tate and LeGarrette Blount is that he didn't show up somewhere else and produce on the field. But in both situations, in both situations, the teams had unappetizing options in front of them, Kyle, because you're just going to let the guy hang around and be an a-hole and disrupt your team?
I guess that's true, but, like, can't you get something? I mean, obviously New England, like, was chomping at the bit to get him. Can't you get
But here's the thing, too, and I don't know why this is the case.
Get a sixth round draft
pick. What is the deal with, like, the third
what
week of
what is the deal with these backup whiny running backs?
Airline peanuts, exactly. with the third week of October or approximately trading deadline. That's the stupidest thing in the world. Why don't you have it like by the first week of December so that you can get some deadline deals going that may affect the playoffs? This was after the deadline.
Well,
Kyle.
I think because
they're
afraid, like, you know, fire sale, you know, the usual, okay, you know, Tampa Bay
so
or Tennessee.
So what? Yeah, help teams load up on draft picks for next year.
Okay.
It's in the parlance of fantasy, it's a keeper league. You don't have to worry about that. But it's but going back to your point, it was after the trade deadline, Kyle. That's the number one thing. What are you going to do with the guy? Leave him in your locker room to be an a-hole who just runs around bad-mouthing everybody, or cut him? There's not really a third option unless you think you can suspend him without pay, or I don't know if there is an option. Can you leave somebody on your roster and pay him but tell him to go home? If so, maybe that's the thing. Because if you could avoid a grievance.
I don't know. Did the Colts kind of do that with Trent Richardson?
Kind of, yeah. Well, that was
that
like on a week-to-week.
That bastard?
That was on a week-to-week basis.
Okay, well,
I'm thinking
there you
more
go.
So
keep tricking them. Just be like, okay, LeGarrette, you're good. Everything's going to be good. We'll give you some starting time. And then Sunday rolls on ass day home.
You're on the roster this week. Psych!
Yes.
Yeah. So they had to be wondering about that. But again, LeGarrette Blount being the backup running back, that was unusual for them in that the last couple of years, as you saw, they don't generally have a credible number two option.
They don't have it's actually a microcosm of the whole roster. They don't have a lot of depth anywhere.
You're right
about
that.
They're a team that cannot sustain a ton of injuries. We saw, and we saw that on the defensive side of the ball. They just have a lot of old, crappy guys out there, and they haven't drafted well in the front seven. So that's why the defense regressed to the levels it is.
Right.
I think that, you know, you get some new blood on the defense, could be a little better. But
overall,
I think the Steelers are more like a 9-7 team next year.
I think so as well.
What do we think of the Cincinnati Bengals? They were an overachiever this year.
Well, I picked them to be 8-8.
So did I.
I think they're going to regress back to about that point. I think with the talent on the roster.
They went 10-5-1 for the record this year, despite only having a plus 21 point differential. So they were one of the real Pythagorean overachievers this year.
They were. And to me, they reek of like a 7-9, 8-8 team next year because, again, we're another year into the whole Andy Dalton failure at quarterback.
Is he a failure or is he just who we think he is, to borrow a line from both you and Dennis Green?
Yes, but he's both, actually, because he's not even going to get to the level. We talked about it with the AFC East. Your goal, like, look, if you have somebody on the Aaron Rodgers tier of five or six guys in this league.
I don't know. Is there five or six guys on that tier?
Well, I'm already putting Andrew Luck on that tier because he's going to be there barring an injury. You know, Luck, Rodgers, Brady, Manning, if he's still playing. Look, as controversial as that might be, I put Russell Wilson in there, too. I don't think Russell...
not yet. He's in that second tier.
But to me, though, if Luck is there based on what he's going to do, I'm putting Wilson there based on what he has done and will do. We'll get to more about him later. But anyways, if you don't have one of those guys, and chances are you know if you have one, if you don't have one of them, realistically the best you hope for is the Roethlisberger, Flacco, Eli Manning tier. There's a couple of Super Bowls won, for five Super Bowls from among those three quarterbacks. So basically it's get an excellent supporting cast around you on both sides of the ball, and this guy will be good enough. Andy Dalton's not that guy, and he's not going to be that guy.
Okay, here's let's compare him to Flacco. He's in the division. They play each other a lot.
Yeah.
I think there's some – Flacco's better than Andy Dalton. And Flacco, remember, though, there was a lot of doubts about him before that ridiculous Super Bowl ran on. Now, I'll say this in his defense. He at least would win one playoff game. Dalton is yet to win any. They're 0-4.
And your boy, the great Bill Barnwell from Grantland, wrote that column before the season – pointing out the games where he faced the most vicious kinds of pressure are the ones where he's fallen apart. And hello, you're not going to dance in the playoffs without pressure.
What does your boy, Screamin' A. Smith, like to say? He was tap dancing like the late, great Gregory Hines. I kept saying that the Super Bowl, the people who hate Stephen A. Smith, they were just like getting very nauseous by the fourth
That's
quarter.
Actually pretty good by his low standards.
Bengals, so we talk about how their record and point differential didn't really jive. You know me, I love that stuff, the numbers.
Right.
They were 3-0-1 in games decided by 8 points or less, the Bengals. Did not lose a single close game this past year. Now, they got blown out. So what that means was they got blown out a few times. They got blown out by New England on the road, got blown out at Indianapolis, were blown out at home by Cleveland. But you can maybe write that off in the randomness of that is Thursday Night Football. Were blown out at home by Pittsburgh, though, as well.
Right.
And then they lost again to the Steelers last week. So four of their five losses were bad. And then they tied a Panthers team, which looked real bad at the time, but I guess maybe not so much in retrospect. Another thing they did is, and we'll talk about this too with Baltimore, because for you not so much, but for me it was true. The Bengals and Baltimore overachieved by projection.
Yes.
What can that be attributed to? We talked about this with the Bills in the AFC East, record in non-conference games.
Right.
Who did the AFC North play? The NFC South. The Bengals were 3-0-1 against those teams.
Yeah.
So,
and that matters.
And they're playing the NFC West next year.
Yeah.
They're not going to go 3.
Good luck with that.
They're not going to go 3-0-1 in non-conference
and
games.
And the AFC West.
They're
it's
not
going to
go 3-0-1 in close games.
Yeah.
Was there any sort of crossover?
You just convinced me. I said 7 or 8. I'm saying 7 wins after looking at that schedule.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Baltimore close twice. They're probably not going to sweep the Ravens either next year.
No.
They may not get swept by the Steelers. You might still wind up going 2-2
six
and two
of one, half
games.
Dozen of another.
Yeah, but, here's the thing. I mean, they were very lucky, actually, to beat Tampa Bay on the road. I don't know if you remember that game. I bet the Bucs in that game, so I watched an abnormal amount of it. But, I think the Ravens, or pardon me, the Bengals, lose a few more next year. The Matt, just because that's what the math says.
I think so as well.
Now, Baltimore, however, they went 4-0 against the NFC South.
Right.
Really cleaned
Which
up.
Which is what you would expect. I picked them for 9-7 and to win the division. They actually overshot the runway in terms of win projection, but didn't win the division.
Yeah,
but I think we saw in the Pittsburgh game, were legitimately the best team in the division last year.
I said that. You know, you were on the Ravens in that the wild card. I was, too.
Yeah.
They did finish with the best point differential in the division by quite a bit, plus 107.
Yep.
Only Denver and New England, who were plus 128 and plus 155 respectively, had a better point differential this year than the Ravens among only AFC teams.
Right.
They've never had a losing year under John Harbaugh.
Right.
Yes, it's just like I said with the Bengals, it's going to be tough to duplicate the non-conference record next year. But I can see the Ravens, unlike the Steelers and Bengals, maintaining their record. I thought they were the best team at year's end in the division, despite the third-place finish. I can see them winning this division at 10-6. While it was only good enough for third place this year, I can see that being good enough for first next year.
I'll tell you what, too, and this is something that's going to make them dangerous in the playoffs if we're right that they win the division, because I think that this matters. I think it matters when you come out of a season proving that you can take a punch and that you don't have a glass jaw. AFC West, NFC West, a lot of landmines there. Whoever wins this division will go into the playoffs maybe more battle-hardened than any other division winner in football.
Another thing, too, they never get blown out. We talked about how Cincinnati suffered some real bad losses. Baltimore rarely gets blown out under John Harbaugh. So that's the sign of a good team. Conversely, they really took care of business against some of the bad teams. Remember, they really I remember they blasted Tampa Bay one week. I think they killed Atlanta another week.
We got to be honest, though. By the end of the season, some of this was injuries, but some of it was just talent on the roster. Secondary sucks. Obviously, you and I are assuming.
Here's the thing, though.
Draft,
I trust
free agency,
they always draft well.
They will put every offseason resource that they can into the secondary.
We didn't really talk about this with Cincinnati.
Right.
Like with Pittsburgh, clearly they need to address draft free agency, the defensive side of the ball.
Yes.
Cincinnati, look, everyone's going to talk about Andy Dalton. I just don't know what the better option is than Andy Dalton. Unless if, some great free agent says, I'll come play for you. I don't know what – they're not in a position to draft a guy.
They're stuck for another year,
So – and, Cincinnati, other than that quarterback position, they don't have a lot of holes on that roster.
No.
Baltimore has one identifiable hole. When you have one identifiable – pardon me, let me get the toilet paper out of my mouth – on your roster, you can address it.
Yes.
I anticipate that they'll address it.
We both do, yes.
In the draft, they're going to be picking – there was a big in the spot that they'll be picking. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but there was a big run on cornerbacks last year, late in the first round. Remember Denard and Verrett and some other guys. You can get a good talent at that spot and address it, and maybe you get a free agent. That's all. So,
regrettably, Justin Gilbert was not among those guys.
Yeah, it was interesting that he was the first one to be taken and was the worst.
Yeah.
But now, keep in mind, rookie corners also struggle. So,
I'm not writing him off.
No, I wouldn't either. And that would be a transition to...
How about that? Your Cleveland
Browns. I said 7-9 before the year.
I did, too. I don't think that's the trajectory either one of us anticipated, though.
Oh, you did say 7-9.
I did say.
I thought you kind of mocked me for saying 7-9.
Well, you know what? I think by the time I got to that point, I think I had been inching up from like 5
okay,
wins,
okay, I remember
six
you
wins.
Mocking me because I said they had a chance to make the playoffs before the year just because
I
thought this division was wide open.
Yes.
And you know what? They did for most of the year until they fell until they put in boy, you know, John Football.
Not my boy. Never wanted him.
No. I'll tell you what, nothing says a well-run franchise like paying thousands of dollars for, what $100,000 for an analytic research that says pick Teddy Bridgewater, and I'll, you know, we'll listen to a homeless guy instead.
Well, exactly. and the thing of it is, too, nobody could answer me this question, and this is what's entirely wrong with the, and leave it to the Browns to be the franchise that epitomizes the Cleveland Browns.
The who?
The Browns. Leave it to them to epitomize better than anyone all the problems of silly season, because the whole thing of it, Teddy Bridgewater getting overpicked, overanalyzed, whatever. I ran around town asking people, when did we get too good for Teddy Bridgewater? Because the talk all throughout the season is this team won't be even remotely horrible enough to have the top pick or second pick or third pick to get him. And the Browns end up having a better record than a lot of people anticipated. Again, Bridgewater somehow slips past them nonetheless. I don't get it.
Yeah, they passed on him twice.
Passed on him twice.
Yeah, it's funny. Passed I thought the twice. Browns actually drafted well besides the first round last year.
Except for not getting wide receivers. I get the thing, and I like the Betonio pick at the time.
Yeah.
Joel Betonio's already one of the best guards in the league.
But after that, they needed to address it. And I think now with, again, now here's a problem. Do you realize that this will be the third time in 4 years the Browns have two first-round picks?
Wow.
The first time, so last year was Gilbert Manziel.
Okay.
Rookie corners struggle. I think Gilbert's, I'm not going to write Gilbert off. Johnny Manziel.
Won't write him off, but he was a horrible disappointment.
Okay. Now, we always preach on this program not writing people off too fast. Johnny Manziel stinks and he's done.
I agree
he's
with
done.
That.
He's done. I'm sorry.
He's horrible. Never should have been drafted
he
in
made,
that spot.
He made, in six quarters, one good throw.
Yeah.
One.
Does not have the pro skill set.
That Buffalo game, you know, some tool I argue with on my buddy's Facebook page is kind of this knob, Chris McClaffrey. I'll mention him by name. You know me. I was thinking of the old SNS days. I used to rip people publicly by name.
Yes, you did.
Like, he was, like, treating that drive against Buffalo where Manziel came in like it was John Elway in the 86 AFC Championship. Oh, did you see that poise and these audibles he was calling? I'm like, dude.
Oh, my God.
He should have turned it over twice. He the first pass he threw should have been intercepted. He's horrible.
I'm embarrassed for anybody that would say that.
He is horrible, Johnny Manziel. And it was funny, we talked about, you'll have to go back again and listen to the AFC East show, just to rehash this, or I'll just kind of restate it here. The bizarre distribution of win totals in the AFC, how you had kind of almost, you know, like three-quarters of the conference almost at an 8-8 or better, and then you had four real horrible teams. The Browns were the exception at 7-9.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to help for more even win distribution next year by dropping wins. This is a five or six win team.
Totally agree.
By the way, that first time the Browns had two first-round picks, Trent Richardson and Brandon Weeden.
Ooh, okay. Well, you know.
And people say Tom Hecker didn't deserve to be fired.
Well, it was a bizarre season because one of the reasons I picked them to be as good as 7-9 is I anticipated, and we talked about this a couple weeks into the season. How
they weren't as bad as their record showed the previous year, I thought. They were not a real 4-12 team.
It was that, but I said I expected this defense to be at least a borderline top 10 defense in the league. And what happens the first couple weeks, they start out offensively as a house of fire, defensively sucking. They ended up, by the time the season was done, as statistically the worst rushing defense in the league. And people are like, well, defensive line, whatever. And I go, no, I don't want to hear that.
Well,
it
don't.
Is a massive underachieving job by this defense. This defense massively underachieved throughout 2014.
Well, then what do you want people to say? I mean, What should the Browns do with the defense next year? Should they just status quo and say, all right, guys, play up to your potential now?
No, I mean, I mean, your boy Kiki Mingo?
How's he doing?
I think it's more a question of scheming. And basically what I'm saying is I think there's not enough people pointing at the defensive coordinator and the head coach and saying, why wasn't the defense better? And I think Mike Pettine has done a great job in terms of in a dumpster fire of a coaching situation with a horrific ownership, a franchise that's been in the crapper since 99. Mike Pettine, big picture, has been great. What I question is the job schematically with the defense last year, because the defense horrifically underachieved. I will not let go.
I think they need to get a run stopper if he's there in the first round, in addition to a receiver. They got the two picks. Look, their secondary's pretty good, actually, and in good shape. They need to get a who's their talented guy in the front seven?
They got a couple of them. They got a couple of them.
Did I miss? Did I fall asleep?
Phil Taylor's pretty darn good. Itaba Rubin, who it looks like they're going to let go, pretty darn good. Carlos Dansby came over from Arizona and played very well. Chris Kirksey, the third-round draft pick, showing some signs of being a young Carlos Dansby. Jabal Sheard, who they appear ready to let go.
Well, then why did you run on him?
Paul Kruger had a much better year. You talked about how Taylor couldn't cover you.
I mean, I could have ran on this defense.
Sitting here, and I'm praising all of these guys, and it just seems like I don't even know how. I watched just about all of their games, and I don't know how this front seven sucked as bad as they did.
They were 4-4 in games decided by 7 points or less.
Yeah.
So, no real luck there.
Against the running game.
Yeah, they improved from 4-7 wins. The thing is, the schedule's going to be harder. They played Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Oakland, and Tampa Bay. I think their record, they were a phony early on. They were not as bad as they looked late, but they weren't as good as they looked
early.
Well,
this is why Kyle Shanahan narked to Jason Lockenfora about the text messages from the front office so he could get out of his job, because he knew there's going to be another purge coming next year after they win 4 or 5 games. Everybody sees this.
What a brilliant move by the Shanahans. Again. So you think this team...
He has no conscience, but whatever.
You think this team regresses next
absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely.
I think they're a 5 or 6.
I say this with great pain and sorrow as a Browns fan. They're going to be more of the Browns fan that we have expected the last couple of years in the 4 and 5 win purgatory era than 7 wins. No question in my mind. So that's what we have for the division. I'm picking Baltimore to win. Sounds like you are.
Yeah. I could see a wild card coming out here.
Gun to my head, I'll say Pittsburgh takes a wild card.
It's been 2 years in a row in this conference we've seen one division produce both wild cards. It was the West 2 years ago, the North this past
year.
Can't
happen again.
I can't see it happening again. So
no.
I kind of like Pittsburgh a little more than Cincinnati
at this point, but I'm not
ready to claim Pittsburgh's a good playoff team. We'll talk about that in August.
Yeah. Pittsburgh for me is very much on the bubble. I'll say they take the wild card, and I think Baltimore wins the division. And with picking the Browns for only 4 or 5 wins, you sense my great sorrow as a lifelong Cleveland Browns football fan. So essentially, more of the same in 2015.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.